This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning. Welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
Good. I'm wearing my Toronto Maple Leaf swag this morning, Naz. I noticed you got your Buffalo Bills swag on. For all of our listeners, if you want a video, we video stream at zoomerradio.ca. So you're welcome to tune in there as well. Also pleased to join us this morning, the Ultimate Leafs fan, a good fan of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, our good friend Mike Wilson. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, guys, except trying to get over that Notre Dame loss last night.
Well, I was going to save that for our Joe Bowen segment. You segued me into who our guests are this morning. Obviously, Mike, we've got you on for a bit today. We've got the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the number one Notre Dame fan, maybe 1A and 1B with you, Mike, and 1C with me, Joe Bowen. He's going to be joining us this morning. And back end of the show, we've got Carlo Koliak of Lou Franceschetti. So we've got a really busy show. Why don't we save the Notre Dame discussion for when we get Joe on the phone, Mike? I'm suffering from that performance as well.
I'm still suffering from the Blue Jays during the week, Mike.
Anyways, Mike, let's get into it. A lot of postmortems have already been done on the Toronto Blue Jays. It happened a few days ago. A lot of criticism has gone around as to some significant events that happened in the second game against the Twins. The number one, and the manager Schneider had to deal with it in his conference after the game, and Ross Atkins, the general manager, yesterday had to deal with it in his presser. The decision to remove Berrios, the pitcher, early in the game, he was flying at that point in time. He had his best stuff he had in a few games, and for some inexplicable reason, probably as a result of some computer algorithm somewhere, they decided to take Berrios out of the game. Mike, I know that you're probably not thrilled with that decision. I know, Naz, you're not thrilled with that decision. I'm not. So let's go around the horn here. Mike, I'll turn it over to you first. If you want to chat about that and or anything else, Blue Jays, Guerrero's going, his brain cramp running the bases at second base. In a key moment in the game when guys on second and third and Bo Bichette, the only guy hitting at the plate. A lot of different, but let's wrap up the Blue Jays season. Mike, I'll take it over to you, and I'll let you hammer wherever you want to hammer.
Boy, well, there's so much to go through, guys. It's more than just that crazy decision to remove Berrios when he was pitching probably the best game he'd pitched as a Blue Jay. But the fact remains they had one hit. They had one extra base hit in two games. They scored one run. That's the real bottom line story. But the bigger issue, I think, is, Wally, as you know, being in the legal profession, me on Bay Street for 40 years, it all starts at the top. Any company you ever look at or any business. And it's no coincidence, sort of this, I don't want to say dysfunctional, but this slightly dysfunctional, we'll call it, to be kind, management that we're seeing, the way it was, Atkins bumbled through his conference yesterday, and Schneider did the same at his press conference. It reminds us of the team that starts play on Wednesday. And where does it go? It goes right to the top again, starting with Edward Rogers, who's the guy with both. And, you've got to look at somewhere between there and Schneider or wherever you want to look. The truth lies. We just know what it is. But the fact remains there's just so much going on around this team. And the part that concerns me is the fact that with this sort of, you know, uneasiness with management, it sort of weighs on the players. And that, I mean, us as fans, we're going to hear all winter, they signed this guy, they signed that guy, Vladdy's coming back in the best shape of his life, Guerrero, you know, Bichette's hitting the ball better than even in his career, and Springer's the best shape. You're going to hear all that, and the fans will be back in the park. But the bottom line is the players, if they have that mistrust or that lack of confidence in the decisions being made, that's where the real problem begins. And again, trying to sign a free agent with all this thing overhanging the team, this does definitely have to be addressed, and it has to be cleared up sooner than later.
Naz, I'll give you your shot.
Who do you think called the shots there during that game? Because I'm still stunned by it.
I think, Naz, you're asking who made the decision?
Yes.
Well,
they're not coming out to say
I don't think we got a clear answer from Schneider, although Schneider, I think the implication in his was that it was preordained prior to the game that they sort of figured it out. Atkins really, want to criticize him, I'm not so sure he really protected his manager. He didn't protect Schneider. I'm not sure he really answered the question all that well. I guess the implication in what Atkins was saying is Schneider was free to do whatever he wanted, that he didn't...
Then he should be let go.
Shapiro's got a press conference coming up on Thursday. I'm not so sure he's going to... I'm sure they're going to ask him that question. I'm sure he's just going to defer it that he doesn't make baseball decisions. I don't know what he's going to say. I'm thinking about this one, Mike, tongue-in-cheek. I was thinking of asking my computer through ChatGPT to see if it could answer that question, and maybe my computer can connect with the Blue Jays computer, and maybe that's how we can resolve the problem. Mike?
Is this where it's gone?
Well, guys, there's the issue right there. The issue right there is nobody's taking ownership of making tough decisions. Remember this, let's go back, 92. The Toronto Blue Jays win the World Series. The guy who hits the game-winning hit, Dave Winfield, is the darling of the city. He's going to raise the banner. And an hour before he does that, Pat Gillick calls him and says, we won't be protecting you tomorrow. Tough decision. And he took ownership. I mean, guess what? He signed Paul Molitor with the MVP the next year, and they won. That's the difference. That's leadership, and that's how you win. And the Toronto Blue Jays do not have that right now. Plain and simple, and end of story. And
not only I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. To be quite frank, I mean, the reality is I'm not so sure how disappointed we should be. I mean, it was extremely disappointing to anybody who was watching that game with their eyes. Said, like, what are you doing? You know, they're taking Jose out of the game. Like, every single Blue Jays fan is looking at that and saying, like, what game is this manager watching? I mean, you know, you can bring all these algorithms and statistics and analytics all you want, but that's all in the past tense. Those are all past statistics. They're not necessarily entirely predictive of what's going to happen in a specific game. Watch the damn game. Like, you know, make decisions upon what's going on in the game. Berrios was pitching lights out, and you pull him out. It was just absolutely perplexing. But having said that, you know, they didn't score any runs. Whether that made any huge difference in the game, you know, history now through the lens of a Monday morning quarterback, for lack of a better term, not so sure it made all that much difference. Guerrero in the key moment in that entire – two key moments in that game. When Schneider pulls Berrios out of the game, and when Guerrero has a brain cramp on second base with Bo Bichette at the plate, man on second and third, and the only guy who's hitting in this lineup, and you take the bat out of his hand. I mean, and then you look at it and say, you know what? I don't think this team was going anywhere anyways, was it, Mike?
Well, it starts right there. The nonsense we saw with that team last year, acting like a high school team, they got rid of the two of the guys, Durrell and Hernandez, to try to stop that. And Vladdy, you know, they're like throwing sunflower seeds at guys and dumping buckets of ice on guys. This high school stuff has to stop. And this guy, who's a good ball player, he's not an elite ball player. That's not the first time that he made a bumbling play like he did the other night. Remember a couple of weeks ago during the run, he failed to tag up at second base as being the time run in a key game. Now, he's lucky because the next player got walked and they ended up scoring the run and winning the game. But this type of laziness, lack of mentality or toughness and mentality has been prevalent with this guy since he stepped into the league. And, he, you know, when was the last time he had a clutch hit or a clutch home run? This is what this guy's supposed to be doing. And this team is centered around him, and they're coddling him too much. How come nobody called him out at the press conference and they defended him? You know, this is the type of nonsense that has to stop and has to be addressed immediately. And I said, the other players, listen, the guys who know what's going on are the players. And they, nobody, you can't put it by the players. And they see what goes on. And this goes on in every sport. And I think right there at number at the one bag, they have a problem. And they got to deal with that first and foremost. So number one, get in shape and start coming in. And when you're, you know, start running balls out, start playing the game like it really matters. And stop being out there like you're playing in high school.
Naz, I'll give you a last word before
running,
we go to break.
They've been running through the third base line with the coach. Is telling them to halt, and they're just going through it like at their own will. I don't get it. I really don't.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, you talk about leadership, and I, you know, we talk about leadership at the top, and there's also leadership issues probably in the dressing room. It just that this team seems to be without team leadership. There's nobody seems to be taking the team by the throat. There's talent there. There's no question. There's talent there. It's just they. There doesn't seem to be that one or two guys you can strap the team to and that they take the team to a different level. Anyways, Mike, we've got to go to break. We've got Joe Bowen, his time's valuable, the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Leafs start anew. Hope springs eternal. Let's break down the Toronto Maple Leafs with the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Joe Bowen. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared, "We'll never be the fastest! We'll never be the cheapest! We'll never be the snazziest dressed!"
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best! At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 on 96.3 FM and also live video and audio streaming at www.zoomerradio.ca. We were hoping to have Joe Bowen, the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs, with us. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to connect with him yet this morning. We're going to keep trying. It's live radio. You never know what you're going to get on a Sunday morning. But we've got a lot to talk about in any event. So we've got the ultimate Leafs fan, Mike Wilson. Mike, you still with us?
I'm still here.
Okay, so let's talk about the NHL, the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's been a long time since the Leafs have won the Stanley Cup. Is this going to be the year, Mike?
Well, we say that every year. I mean, I mean, as Maple Leaf fans, we think it's every year. So no year is different than the next. We just were giving them another try.
Yeah, certainly. So let's get into it. The season starts this week. Naz, have a look at what the Leafs did over the offseason. They have a new general manager. They've got John Klingberg. They've got Max Domi. They've got Tyler Bertuzzi. They're going to have Matthew Nyes for the entire year. But the two question marks, I don't think, have changed.
Yeah, Fraser,
goaltending and defense. Those are obviously some of those offseason moves are pretty positive moves. I understand we now have Joe Bowen. Joe, are you with us?
I'm here.
Thank you so much for joining us, Joe. As a producer told you, our good friend Mike Wilson, the Ultimate Leafs fans, joining us this morning. And you, I, and Mike are not in very good spirits this morning, Joe. Our beloved.
Oh, well, hey, that's the way it goes sometimes. things don't always work out for the best.
Our beloved Irish didn't get the result we would have liked last night, Joe. And we'll move off this topic fairly quickly. I was kind of surprised by their pretty abysmal performance in the second half last night. Joe, what was your assessment?
You know, you play the toughest schedule in college football, and you don't get many nights off. And, you know, as much as you would have liked to have seen them play better, they had their opportunities. Long pass, it could have been a score. And really, Sam Hartman looked human last night. He didn't play as well as he had in the previous game. So, you know, if we'd have had 11 guys on the field a couple of weeks ago, a lot of things would be different.
I was actually there in South Bend in that corner, that end zone, when that play happened. Joe, let's get to the Leafs. You're the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're beloved in Leafs land. You're beloved amongst Naz, myself, and Mike Wilson. We're thrilled that you were back. There were some concerns at the end of last season as to what your standing was going to be, but you and Ralphie are back, and we're absolutely thrilled about that. And is this going to be the year, Joe, where the season is going to finish with you proclaiming, "Ole Mackinac, the Leafs have won the Stanley Cup"? Is this the year, Joe?
Well, why wouldn't it be? hasn't happened since 67, so this seems to be as good a piece of timing as any. This is obviously certainly the most talented group that I've been associated with since Pat Quinn's era. I think that what they have done in the off season is tried to make them more of a playoff type team with a little more sandpaper in their lineup to start the season, rather than trying to do almost a wholesale change at the deadline where six different players came in and they never really were, you know, able to gel or acclimatize with one another because some of them were injured and various other things. So I think we start the season more looking like a playoff team. And if that's the case, then maybe a little bit of tweaking at the end of the season at the trade deadline will augment that. But we'll have to wait and see. Everybody gets, is this the year or whatever? You have to get there. Yeah. You got to get in first. So everybody, this doesn't mean anything. Well, it does mean something. And the regular season will mean a great deal. It'll mean a great deal, first, to get in, and secondly, to play more like a playoff-type team going forward so that is ingrained in them when they actually get to the tournament.
Naz, I'm going to turn over to you, and then Mike, we'll get to you after that.
The Leafs look like they're a little thin on defense, Joe. They only have six defensemen, NHL defensemen. Last year they had eight or nine in the camp. Where are they going to go from there? Where are they going to get these guys from?
Well, I think there's some depth there. I think that, you know, they're going to have to, obviously, I would think at the deadline, probably make a move. But I don't see their defense to be a major issue at this point. I think they have some experience back there. I think Klingberg is going to add to their power play and their offense from the defense, which has been a bit of a sore point. And Connor Timmins, when he gets healthy, all he seems to do is produce points as well. So, I think that under those circumstances, I think that they'll be fine. But like every other team in this league, always looking for a defenseman somewhere.
Yeah.
And that will be the case, I would imagine, when the deadline arrives. And Brad Treliving has had a history of finding these guys. So let's hope that that trend continues.
Mike?
Well, I think the thing is, I mean, you know, I agree with what all you guys are all saying, obviously. I mean, these are the key things and the obvious things that, you know, that Toronto should be dealing with and we look forward to. And I agree with Joe that, you know, everybody talks about, you know, at least we measured what happens the last 2 weeks of April and the first couple weeks of May and forget about the rest of the season. Well, that's all nonsense because it all does matter. And it matters where you play and it matters where you finish and everything that Joe alluded to. But I think the key for Toronto is that to have any success is you've got to have the kids step up and take advantage of opportunities presented to them. Like we're seeing right now with Fraser Mitton, who under some circumstances or any kind of circumstance has made this hockey club. But again, it's a question whether you can stand the grind of 82 games and playing against the big boys in a night in and night out. But you have to look to the Martyrs where some of these guys have to step up and take advantage of that because that's how you win and that's how you make room to make moves that we're suggesting on the back end, because again, they're very tight with the salary cap. They do have five players that don't need that waiver, that have waiver protection. They can send up and down. And I can't believe that they bring Martin Jones in and somebody as sharp as Treliving wouldn't factor in that they could lose him if they put him on waivers. So I got to imagine they're going to do some wrinkling over the next 24 hours to keep him on the roster, because Joe knows, being a goalie himself, you need two goalies in this league today.
Joe, I'd ask you to comment on that.
Well, you know, whether they're going to be able to slide him through or they're going to have to put someone else on waivers and hope that that gets slid through if you're going to keep three goaltenders initially. And that all has to be done today. This is the waiver day, and then tomorrow the team must comply with the salary cap and have their roster put in before the season opens on Tuesday. So a lot of things will happen today in that regard. I think their goaltending is going to be just fine. Jim Ralph and I are really, really high on Joseph Woll. And I wouldn't be surprised that by the end of the year, he might be the number one guy. And it's been a long time coming that at least draft pick has actually managed to make its way into, you know, being a prominent person on the roster in that position. So having said that, you hope, I think you could get somebody like Jones just to hope that in case something did happen, that there was some depth there. But I think that that's the situation that they're going to have to look at going forward. And they'll see, if they keep him as the third guy and expose someone else, then I think you're looking at someone making a trade. And that's maybe something where they're looking, hey, hello, Tampa, I understand you might need somebody. We'd like a little something in return rather than just getting him off the wire.
Joe, I'm gonna ask you to comment on my assessment of what the Leafs, now they're going to be successful subject to injury problems and everything else that can go on in a season. And we know Matthews and Marner are going to play at a very high level. I'm sort of seeing the key to this Leafs team to be able to take it to the next level in two players. And I'd like to comment on that. One is Morgan Rielly and the other one is William Nylander. And let me tell you my assessment of those. First of all, if I get a chance to plug Rielly on the show, I always do, because he does some promotional work with our chief sponsor, Pizzaville. But I love Morgan Rielly. He was one of the few Leafs in last year's playoffs that actually elevated his game. And he played better in the playoffs than he did in the regular season. And if he can continue that kind of a performance, I know you can't do it over 82 games, but if we see the Morgan Rielly that we saw in the playoffs last year, I think that will speak volumes for this team. Nylander, everybody talked about trading him. I think he's, I don't like to use the word unfortunate, he's an integral part of this team. He's an all-world talent. He's in a contract year. I've got this sense he's going to elevate his game this year. So around those two players, Rielly and Nylander, how important do you think they're going to be to the ultimate success of this team?
Well, Morgan Rielly is obviously your number one defenseman. Now, is he in the top echelon of the National Hockey League? Probably not. although a couple of years ago he was certainly in the running for the top defenseman, and his teammate ended up winning it that year while he was in Calgary with Giordano. But having said that, I think the one thing that you have to understand with Willie is that he is there, but it is, if you're looking for that stud defenseman, that may be the piece that has to go. And that's, you know, that's up to Brad Treliving. But you would hope that they are able to keep him because their depth at forward and their ability to score is going to be tantamount on how this team plays through the course of the year. And I like Willie more on the wing because he's going to get an opportunity for a lot of breakaways. Playing center ice, especially on your own end, you've got a lot more defensive responsibility and you're not getting the opportunity to kind of read the play a little early and then, you know, make the break and try and get open for a breakaway. And he does score a lot that way. So I agree with you. He's a talented, talented player. I don't know how much this contract thing is going to be a diversion going forward with this season, but it is going to be something that is going to be talked about on a regular basis until some decision is made or some contract is actually signed. So, you know, both of them have to be key contributors to this team. There's no question about that. And Morgan Rielly, if he can get back to the kind of offensive production that he had a couple of years ago, is going to be, and certainly in the postseason, is going to be a very key part, especially on the power play. But John Klingberg is going to be an important part of the power play as well. That's going to be an interesting dynamic to see who's quarterbacking the number one unit. Klingberg can shoot the puck, and he's a right-handed shot, which also kind of changes things up a little bit. So Guy Boucher has some interesting pieces there for the first power play unit. It'll be interesting to see how it all sifts out here in the early going.
Joe, does Fraser Minton make the team?
No. 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 He's a young kid, and he's made great strides, and his future is very, very bright. But if he makes the team, where is he going to play, and who's coming out? An experienced guy, and Minton is going to end up playing not first line, not second line. Now he'd have to be the third line center, and he certainly has played very, very well in the preseason. There's no question about that, and he's going to be a key contributor to this organization down the road. But I don't think at this point that this team needs to rush a junior player into the ranks at this point. I think that a more savvy individual to play center ice is going to be, and you know, like you're looking at Noah Gregor, who has played and is on a tryout contract. I think that that piece is probably more important at this particular juncture in the Leafs building towards a Stanley Cup than to rush Fraser Minton. He played well against teams that didn't have big boys, all of the big boys in the lineup. And now when the big boys all get to start to play, I think that you find, maybe we're rushing things here if he's in the lineup. So I do not think so, but I really am excited about what the future has for him and the other young man from out west. From London.
From London.
Has played very, very well. Both of them have played extraordinarily well. But it's really a lot to ask of putting a young man into that kind of a position. And here he is, too, both of them are number one or two line centers, right? And you're going to ask them to be limited ice time, more responsible defensively, playing on a third line. That, I think, is a lot to ask.
Couldn't agree with you more, Joe. Joe, we don't want to be take up too much of your generous time. I'm going to throw one last comment out there for both you and Mike to comment on, and then we'll take it to break. I'll take it to you first, Mike, and then come back to you, Joe. The other additions the Leafs have made over the course of the summer, Domi, Bertuzzi, Reeves. Mike first, and then Joe, we'll finish with you. Mike, your thoughts on those additions? How much of an improvement do they make to the Leafs lineup?
Well, following along with your comment about the key player in the lineup, I think the key player in the Toronto Maple Leafs lineup, there's a couple of things. Number one, Tyler Bertuzzi. if he can get back to the form he had back in Detroit and playing with the two big guys on the number one line and, you know, pop in 30, 40 goals, which he is very capable of doing, that opens the door to make a move that people probably may see coming, depending on how it goes with Nylander and the negotiations. We saw what he did to the Maple Leafs in 2018 when he held them ransom to the last day of, the possible day they could keep him. But I think based on that, if you look at the play of Jake McCabe and TJ Brody in the playoffs last year, it was a bit disturbing, particularly in the second round against Florida. And hopefully they can get back to be the players they were. Now, you know, Brody's aging somewhat, so he's going to be a little bit slower, but hopefully he can get back to the player he was. And McCabe will be the player the Maple Leafs are looking for. So I think those pieces right there are what the Maple Leafs are really going to be watching. And that'll depend on, obviously, what happens with Nylander. But that opens the door, I think, for any major move Toronto wants to make. Max Domi's always been a producer. He's good on the wing. He can play anywhere. I think he's going to fit in well. He's going to embrace the playing back in his hometown. And he's really going to be motivated to play well. And I believe that, to Joe's point on Fraser Mitton, I agree. He will be sent back. But he may be kept up for a 9-game trial, just especially if they want to do some finagling with the cap. And the guy who could be a little bit vulnerable in all this is Sam Lafferty, who makes that 1.1. And that's $300,000 above what, Mitten's making could come in quite handy. And as far as Reeves goes, well, they're paying him $1.3 million to be a bit of enforcer out there. I mean, so far he was coasting a little bit in the preseason. So we'll see what he does. But he does bring a presence of, you're not going to push these guys around anymore. So is that needed in the game still? Well, we saw what happened last year in the playoffs with what happened with Florida, and they just ran their way into the Stanley Cup Finals. So, so he will be needed, but it's more his presence that I think will be a key factor for the Leafs.
Thanks, Mike. Joe, we'll let you finish off our segment. Domi, Bertuzzi, Reeves, what are you expecting from them?
Well, here's the sandpaper that this team, at least in the regular season and up until the trade deadline last year, probably did not have. That's great. I think that Domi and Bertuzzi will be, that kind of sandpaper player, tough to play against, miserable to play against, productive. Ryan Reeves is sort of like having the atomic bomb. awfully nice to have, but how often can you use it? he has to pick his spots. He has to be smart. He has to be physical, and he has to try and stay out of the penalty box unless he's bringing somebody with him. And, I think that's something that over the years he understands. It will be, great to have him on the bench and to know that if you are going to take liberties, someone is going to pay for it one way or the other. And, I mean, he's a big, strong guy, and when he gets in on the forecheck, he's going to finish his check. And that's something that the Leafs need to, without even dropping the glove. So it will be interesting to see how much he is utilized and when he is utilized. And that he may be around probably a couple of years too late. If it was John Brophy, he might be playing on the first line.
Anyways, we've been talking to Joe Bowen. Joe, you know how much we appreciate you taking the time for us, and I mean it sincerely. I'd love at some point in my life to hear you call Holy Mac and all the Leafs win the Stanley Cup. That would be absolutely awesome.
My bank manager thinks it's a hell of an idea, too.
Hope springs eternal, and hopefully the Irish take out their frustrations on the hated Trojans this Saturday night. So,
yeah, Joe, we'll look forward to that.
Yeah, thanks so much, Joe. You know how much we appreciate it. Be well.
Okay, guys.
Friend. Thanks so much. Yep. Joe Bowen.
Happy
Thanksgiving to you. Mike,
it's
always a pleasure having a good friend of our show on with us. We appreciate your insights on the Leafs. You're the ultimate Leafs fan. Just tell our listeners what you're up to these days, where they can tune in and listen to you.
Well, I mean, Rick and I will be starting our weekly Leaf stream this week. I will have to with the season, so watch for that. Our podcast, Squid and the Ultimate Leaf Fan, tune in anytime. We've got every episode is online, and you can find us on a YouTube channel. I'm still promoting my Beer League hockey book with all the proceeds going towards defibrillators to put in hockey rinks, community centers, or anybody that needs them. So please reach out and help us. The books are $20. I mean, again, The book may stink, but if for $20 at the cost of two beers, well, one beer at Scotiabank Arena, you may help save a life, including your own one day. So please help us.
That's fantastic work, Mike. Keep up the good work. It's always a pleasure talking to the Ultimate Leafs fan, and we'll stay in touch, and we'll go on this journey of the Toronto Maple Leafs seasons together, and let's have a great year. Thanks, Mike.
You bet. Yeah, thanks, guys. See you later.
Mike Wilson, the Ultimate Leafs fan. We're going to take it to break. We're going to come back with TSN's Carlo Koliakovo. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared, we'll never be the fastest. We'll never be the cheapest. We'll never be the snazziest dressed.
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best.
At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian, authentically Italian.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
From face-offs to playoffs, field goals to own goals, you're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. As usual with me, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Joining us now, TSN's co-host of TSN's First Up, Carlo Koliakovo. Good morning, Carlo. How are you this morning?
Morning, boys. I'm right in my element. It's early Sunday morning, my favorite day of the year, and I got to watching my favorite.
Are the Bills winning
right
yet? What's the score?
It just started. It's 0-0 still.
Okay, so what Carlo is alluding to, the Bills are over in Europe. I think they're in the Tottenham Hotspur arena this morning, and they've started their game. I believe they're playing the Jaguars, right?
They are, yes. Happy Thanksgiving to Bills fans, and happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Thank you. And just so everyone knows, our good friend Lou Franceschetti's also joined us for this segment.
Oh, love it.
So, Lou, good morning to you, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody there, Carlo. I hope you've recovered from last weekend. Of course I have.
Are we talking about the
whirlwind?
The ball hockey?
Yeah, okay. Ball hockey, road hockey to conquer cancer was an unbelievable event. There was a team put in honor of my son, Leo, and it was nice that he got the recognition, and it was an unbelievable day weather-wise to be out there celebrating a great cause.
Interestingly enough, I had a question. You beat me to it, Lou. I was going to ask about little Leo. We haven't asked you about it, but he's doing fantastic. Interesting about that Road to Conquer event. My son Chris is actually one of the honorary chairs of that event. It's a fantastic event.
Amazing.
So bring us up to speed. I know you had some challenges with little Leo, and he's always in our thoughts and prayers, but he's doing fantastic, isn't he?
Yeah, I appreciate that. He is thriving. He's a year removed from being in remission, and he's full clean bill of health, and we couldn't be more excited for him. And you know, his future. And obviously when, you know, you're dealing with a family member who's going through cancer, it's obviously an uneasy time, but it made us stronger as a family. It made him stronger as a person. And we're really thankful and grateful that he was able to kick cancer's ass, as we would say.
Thanks so much for sharing that with us. It brings tears to my eyes to know that
he's doing well.
I forgot. I have to apologize, Carlo. I forgot to introduce you because you had a significant event happen to you this summer. You are the 2023 National Golf Club two-day member guest champion together with your brother. So I understand
that's
one of the most significant achievements of your sporting career.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it was great to see you there again. And, you know, participate in the playoffs with us. And you obviously understand the significance of it. So, but yeah, for sure. It was, you know, one of the greatest highlights of my life and of my sporting career because, you know, I was playing hockey as long as I did. I grew up playing a sport that, you know, I found myself being very good at. Golf was something I just took up a couple years ago. And the special thing about it was, you know, at the club that we did it at and the significance of the event, doing it with my brother was, you know, the most special thing about it. And it's still hard to believe. You know, you think back and you watch the videos and you hear people like yourself compliment me about it. It's still hard to believe it actually happened. But what an incredible moment it was for me and for him. And something I'll relish forever.
Yeah, just understand something. The only reason you and your brother won is because my 6-iron came up 2 inches short and caught that bunker on 15, okay? But we're I'm gunning for you next year, Carlo.
Carlo, who's the better golfer, Jeff O'Neill or yourself?
Oh, Jeff O'Neill for sure. He's close to a scratch. I mean, when you play in Carolina most of your career, you're golfing all year round, right? So he better be better than me, and so I'm a 7 handicap. I've seen significant improvements in my game year after year, and you know, hopefully I can continue to stay on that path.
We're gonna knock you off that perch next year. Anyways, I got to get Louis involved here. Louis, a lot to talk about. Let's get Carlo involved. I'll turn it over to you, Louis.
I don't know. You want to talk about the Irish?
No.
The Irish, wow.
I just don't hit me on my sore spot. Let's move away from the Irish.
Okay. I'm open to anything today.
I understand Carlo, I always take a look at your tweets. We might as well go there because you were pretty animated in some of your comments about some of the questionable decisions made by, although we don't know who the decision made it, but it was probably
the Blue Jays.
No, it was Hal. It was Hal the computer.
Their
computer. Yeah. So I'll give you a shot, Carlo. You weren't too thrilled about what happened in that last Twins game.
Well, let's be honest, who was, right? I mean, you watch a sport that I think a lot of people spend all year watching, and, you know, you get into the playoffs, which, you know, is a time of year where every mistake gets highlighted because every decision can impact a game positive or negatively. And the decisions that the Blue Jays made in, you know, in an elimination game just makes you scratch your head and wonder, you know, why the decision was made, but two, you know, why everybody who on that team believes they're smarter than everybody that watches the game. And to me, that's what irritated me the most is, you know, I can understand human error and I can understand people making mistakes and I can understand people taking chances, but when they're decisions that are so idiotic and no one takes accountability for it, and they continue to double down, looking at you, the fan, or you, the person that watches the game, and tell you you're the idiot for thinking differently. That's what bothers me about analytics and sports, because I truly do believe, like, there's a reason for analytics to be resourceful, and I truly do believe it does provide valuable information. But we have to remember that humans play the game. And there is a human element to the sport, and there is a human element when it comes to decision-making. And nobody in their right mind thought that the decision that the Blue Jays made in that moment was the right one, except for the Blue Jays themselves. And it just, it makes you question, you know, who really is making those decisions and whether or not, you know, they prioritize winning. Because when a decision like that is made, it's a loser's mentality. You're trusting somebody that has no feeling or emotion in the game, which is a computer, to make a decision that impacts the game the way that it did for the Blue Jays. And then to hear the management come out yesterday and it almost spit in the face of the fans who really wanted answers as to why, and nobody took any accountability. So that bothers me. I think it bothers a lot of people because you can still see the outrage out there. And look, I'm not sitting here and defining that that was the sole reason why they lost, because their offense was pitiful all year. And, you know, who's to blame for that? You know, there's many people that can be blamed for that, the hitting coach, the manager, the management. But the thing that stood out to me in that game was that you took every bit of control you had in that game with your pitcher who on the mound who has had his best stuff, and you allowed somebody that had no involvement in the game to make the decision, and ultimately it cost them. So, look, I'm a Blue Jays fan. I'm not a baseball fan because it's, I believe, the season's way too long. I love watching the playoffs. I'm a big fan of the playoffs. And when you watch a moment like that and you try to justify that it was the right one to make, and you completely disregard everybody who's watched the game for years, I just hate when people walk into a room and think they're smarter than the people that actually watch the game and study the game for a living. And that's what bothered me about everything the Blue Jays did.
Lou, you and I had a discussion the other day, and it's I don't know if this is part of baseball culture. I don't know if it's part of Toronto Blue Jays culture. But the inane, to me, I'm sorry I have to use this strong term, this inane celebration they have when they backed into the playoffs.
Yeah.
They didn't even win the game to get into the playoffs. They had to have somebody else lose.
Right.
And
right.
I'm going to ask Lou this one. Lou, you know, you and I said, like, what is it? Like to me, if I'm a leader or a captain on that team, or I don't know, I say, like, what are we celebrating? Lou?
Well, you're absolutely right. But what they do is that they see everybody celebrating whenever they win or get into the playoffs. It's like you can't go into the dressing room and make an announcement, okay, guys, we're not celebrating because we got into the playoffs. I think it's just baseball in general that does it. You don't see any football teams, or you don't see hockey teams celebrate just for getting into the playoffs, especially the way they did. I don't even know how hard can they celebrate if they win something. It was just frustrating to actually see something like this going on, and the fans more or less backing it up. That's what I think makes some of the Blue Jay fans a little, you know, do they actually know what's going on there? Like, how can you celebrate? And maybe we're old school or whatever it is. I don't know when this started, but how do you celebrate for just making the playoffs?
Yeah, to me, it doesn't make any sense. To me, it doesn't make any sense. I've felt the same way for years when I watch baseball teams celebrate making the playoffs, because it's the same celebrations that they have if they win a championship.
Yeah.
To me, like, I understand, you know, celebrating being a playoff team because, you know, you play a whole season and there's only a certain number of teams that make it. But look, I played on some good teams in my career in hockey. We won a couple of divisions. You know, we were close to winning the President's Trophy, and we celebrated, like, you know, within our means with the team. Like, we had a get together in the room. You know, we were celebrating at dinners with food and stuff like that. But to celebrate like you've won a championship, I've never understood it. But it's the baseball mentality. And to be honest with you, I don't think the Jays were in a position to celebrate the way that they did, because I didn't even believe they were good enough to be a playoff team with how bad they looked going down the stretch into the playoffs. To me, they showed, you know, no desperation in their game. Everybody always thought, you know, was they played the what if game for the Blue Jays, but at the end of the day, the what if game was fraudulent, if you ask me, because they just weren't a really good team, and I just don't know. I never understood the reason for celebrating, and I'll still never understand the reason for celebrating. But that's just what baseball has adopted, and they do it after every series. So credit to them.
How important is it that the Bills get Von Miller back?
You know what? I
is he playing,
really
by the way?
Excited.
Is he playing today?
He is. Yes, yeah, he is. Okay. I think he's going to be limited with his reps. Look, obviously it's great to have him back, but I'm with the way this Bills team has looked defensively, I really didn't see the rush to bring him back this early. I would rather him sit out longer if it meant he was going to be healthier and more durable at the end of the season, because really where you want Von Miller at his best is down the stretch and come playoff time, because that's where he really, you know, has his impact on the team. So
on the Bills front, a lot of criticism for the Bills after that opening loss to the Jets. Josh Allen took a lot of criticism, man, but they've come back like gangbusters. Where do you see the Bills? Where do you see the Bills going from what you've seen so far this year, Carlo?
Well, look, the thing that really excited me about the Bills this year was that nobody was talking about them. And for a team that a year ago that everybody had pegged to be the Super Bowl champion, like you looked at all the analysts that had to make their predictions, everybody on the board picked the Bills last year. And when they fell the way that they did, it's almost like, you know, they sort of played their way out of the playoffs last year because of how undisciplined they were on both, you know, offensively and defensively. But I'm still really excited about them. I think they're a really good team, as we've seen over the last 3 weeks. I was very frustrated with what I saw in week one, because what I saw in week one was a lot of a carryover from what hurt this team last year down the stretch. Arrogant on offense, turnovers, you know, mistakes made by Josh Allen, both fumbling and interceptions. And you got worried because you saw that in week one. But what I do give them a lot of credit for, maybe this was the blessing this team needed, was to get it out of the way in week one, because the adjustments they've made in the next 3 weeks has really, you know, made them a formidable team, in the sense that where they're taking what the offense gives them instead of looking for the home run play all the time. Because, you know, that's the other thing that bothered me with Josh Allen, is that he always tried to be a little more cute than he needed to be on offense. And I think if he can just focus on, you know, making the simple plays, they have the weapons. They surrounded him with more playmakers. Focus on that, and you know, they should be a team that competes in the AFC again, and hopefully for a Super Bowl.
We've got a few minutes left, guys. The NHL season's starting. I'm going to go around the horn. I'm going to start with you, Lou. Then go to Naz, and then I'm going to come back for you to finish off, Carlo. How are the Leafs going to do this year, Lou?
You know, that's a great question, and we all know that it's 82 games that we all more or less bet that they're going to do well, and in the playoffs, the Ryan Reeves, Max Domi, and Tyler Bertuzzi, great acquisitions. I think Ryan Reeves is 3 or 4 years past his prime. I'm not sure coming down crunch time if he's gonna have the same kind of effect, and who's gonna want to bother with him. Max Domi, I think, from what I've seen, he seems to be a little bit more overly aggressive than he used to be. He's taken a lot of slashing penalties, but he is engaged. And Bertuzzi is more or less, he's got to stay healthy. I just don't like that their defense is going to be a big question mark. They haven't got the guy that's going to move anybody from in front of the net. And where's our goaltending going to be? Come 60 to 80 games in the regular season.
I'm going to take it to Naz, and then, Carlo, I'm going to come back to you. Naz?
Okay.
Carlo, the defense that Louis was talking about, it's pretty thin back there. There's only 6 defensemen. What did they do? Where are they going to get these defensemen from?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's the same concern I share with this team. They're going to be a very good regular season team again, but I don't believe, and I'm pretty sure they don't believe, that if this team, the way it's built right now, goes into the playoffs, the way that it's assembled, they have no chance of advancing as further than they did last year. You win in the playoffs by playing a certain way, adopting a certain style of play, being harder to play against defensively, and I don't feel good about the group of six and the depth they have in defense. I think their forwards are going to lead the way again. I like the guys that they brought in, but I'm also very optimistic about what Brad Treliving can do just with the mentality that he's changed in this group. So that, to me, that excites me. I'm not worried about their goaltending. I think Samsonov is more than capable, and I think at the end of the year, Joseph Waugh will be the guy as the number one guy leading this team into the playoffs. So that's how good I feel and how high I am on Wall. So again, if they can find a way throughout the season to improve their defense and be a little bit more gritty to play against, I think, you look at Tampa, they're not playing without Vasilevskiy. Boston's going to drop off a little bit. Florida's dealing with a ton of injuries this third year. They're going to drop off a bit. All of a sudden, their division has become, a little bit more stronger for them to lead the way. And if they can do that as the number one seed, they put themselves in a good spot. But this team has to look different come playoff time in order for me to believe that they're capable of going farther in the playoffs.
Carlo, this clock has struck 10. The producer has given me that angry look again. You know what live radio is all about.
It's 8-0 Jacksonville, in case you guys need to update.
8-0. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay, so hopefully by the time I get home, that will turn itself around. Anyways, Carlo, you know how much we appreciate this. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, guys. Thanksgiving. Always fun being out with you guys.
Lou, thanks so much. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And Naz, appreciate it, Lou. Naz, I will give you the last word.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there.
Guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. We're back next Sunday morning. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.